Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk. My bad we missed last week, but we're here. We're going to do, you know, double the realness and double the fight talk just to make up for it. Also, let me know if you're getting feedback from my air conditioner. Let me know. You know, it's definitely right there. Nobody ever says that they can hear it, but if you do, or Lee, if you hear it, you know, whatever, please let me know. I'll, you know, swiftly turn that down. But, yeah, we here with double
you
the
sound
everything.
Good, bro.
All right, word. Cool. So we're good. We're good. So we're here with double everything. You know, we got two Lees here, Lee and his twin brother. What up, y'all?
Yo.
We got, his twin brother is more of, you know, you got the objective side and the subjective side. So we're going to get, you know, the more opinionated, you know, brother and the more fact-based. Brother, so you know you get two sides of the coin with that. So like I said, double everything. We rocking. How's it going?
It's going, man. Like we got a call in the queue already.
Oh, for real? Yeah. Let me go check on that. I don't have my laptop right in front of me. Hold up. We're gonna get into UFC. What was it? 276. We're gonna get into that in 2 seconds. I'm gonna get this.
We get them in the car right now.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight, man. Because 276 was interesting. 276 is very interesting.
Yo, that phone number looks so familiar. Who is that?
I don't know. Who on the line?
That looks so familiar to me. Well, they're in the call now. Anyways.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's on.
I'm on. This is Dom.
Oh, that's my brother. Lee, talk to him, bro.
Hey, what's going
on,
my man?
What's happening? What's happening? Just coming out here showing love, you know, happy Wednesday and all that. You know, I don't know too much about combat sports and
you hear the intro?
I'm not as well versed. What's that?
You hear the intro?
No, I didn't hear the intro. I just called in. I saw the tweet. I saw the tweet.
Oh, man, yeah. You must have been like 2 seconds after. Anyways, no. Go ahead. Let us know.
No, so I don't know too much about combat sports. I'm not too well-versed, but I know that the you know, a big headline, you know, these past couple weeks have been, you know, everybody's favorite Paul brother has been trying to negotiate an actual fight. You know, Tommy Fury didn't end up working out, and now they got somebody else. In there. So I guess I'd like to kind of lead off with, you know, what do you guys think about that matchup? You know, are we actually going to start seeing a lot of these so-called celebrity matches turn into actual, like, you know, spectator-worthy spectacles? You know, is this actually going to be a fight that's worth watching? And, you know, what's next for this type of, you know, for this type of genre, I guess, inside of combat sports?
Well, that's epic. I had that one in the vault. Nope, like, real talk. I had that in the vault. Like, he was like, you know, I don't really know. And I was like, yo, I got something. Like, I knew I had, like, that topic was on the sidelines, even for you, Lee. I had that one. I was like, all right, like, we might get to that, you know. If all else fails, we got this. So that was working out perfectly. You brought it up anyways. That's word. All right. I was going to ask you what you thought about it. Yeah, so Jake Paul, so Lee, look at this. I don't know if you saw it either. So, the Fury brother, you know, he flopped. He did something. I don't know what happened to him. He slipped on a banana peel, I guess. And basically now Jake Paul is going to fight a real boxer. I guess the guy he's fighting is like 12-1 or something like that, with like 6 KOs. His dad was a former heavyweight champion. I guess he defeated Lennox Lewis like back in the day. Lee, you might know this guy more than me.
Yep, I do.
I didn't know. You know who it is?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you knew the father?
Yes, I do.
All right, tell us about this guy, man. That's his son. What's going on? He looks a lot bigger than Jake Paul at the press conference. I'll tell you that for free.
Hossein Rockman was a heavyweight fighter. He actually has some of the best hands at heavyweight. The thing was his foot movement was bad at heavyweight. I want to say his dad was a heavyweight champion. I'm not quite sure if his dad was a heavyweight champion, but this Rahman Jr., Hossein Rahman Jr., I like what Jake Paul is doing here. I think if he can beat a real boxer, this will start giving his fights more credibility. It'll start making people really pay attention. Rahman is 12-1. He's a natural boxer. He has a little bit of skill. But let's get back to Tommy Fury real quick. Everybody thinks Tommy Fury is ducking Jake Paul. Fury just can't get legal travel to the United States. Every time he tries to get here, something happens with his visa, and they won't allow him in country. So what Fury wanted to do was have the fight moved over to the U.K., but it was too late in the game to do that. So Rahman Jr. has stepped in. And, man, I really, really like this fight for Jake Paul. I think Rahman has the most to lose, being that he's a real boxer. But I think Jake Paul has so much to gain in this fight. It should be a good fight. I'll probably actually sit down and watch this one. Because of the matchup. I didn't never want to see him fight Tyron Woodley. Didn't want to see him fight Ben Askren. And definitely didn't want to see him fight Nate Robinson. But I'm all in on this fight. And if Rahman shows up and does his thing, it should be a good fight. But Rahman last fight, he did have a TKO loss. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm glad Jake Paul stepping up the level of competition.
But yo, so look at this, right? I just fact checked it right now. So, Rockman's dad did fight Lennox Lewis, and he knocked him out in the fifth round to win all the belts back in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't want to say he knocked him out. I didn't know how he won, but people said he beat him. I didn't know. But he won by knockout in the fifth round, it says, and he was a Rahman was a 20-1 underdog. They fought in Africa. Yeah, he I think for all the belts, pretty much it looks like, I don't know how many belts there are in boxing. I don't know what is considered all the belts, to be honest, because it's like 942,000 belts. But it looks like they fought for all the belts, and that's pretty crazy. That's a big notch on his name right there. But yeah, I think
it should be four. It should be four belts, WBA, WBC, WBO, and IBF. Those are the four major ones.
It was the WBC, the IBF, and the IBO Unified Lineal Champion, Lennox Lewis. That's what it says.
Okay.
So either way, that's pretty crazy. And the second point is, Dom, I don't know if you're still there, but the second point is that, like I said, he looked a lot bigger, but I think the thing that, could change is that Rahman Jr. is a heavyweight, and they pretty much forced him. Jake Paul and his camp basically are like forcing him to move down to cruiserweight to fight at 200 pounds for this fight. And what I also heard, because I watched the press conference last night, Rahman told us that they have moved down to 200 pounds. And then, yo, Lee, look at this. They have a rehydration clause in his contract that they had him sign, saying that, you know, like most UFC guys, like and boxing guys, they'll gain the weight back in water weight after they weigh in, so they can, like, you know, not pass out on the scales and all that. They're not allowing him to regain any weight. I don't think he can really. I don't know, like, what the. I want to say it might have been like. 10, I don't know if it's any. If you can't gain any weight, if you can't gain
it
anything back,
it should be. I know that the California rule is you can't gain more than 10%. You know, you can't gain more than 10%. So if you weigh like, so I guess he can't come in at more than 210 pounds.
Okay, yeah, that sounds. I think that's what it was. I heard them say 10. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So that's what
and
they put on.
And actually, I
like
that
so. Move. I mean, he seemed kind of flustered by that at the press conference. It seemed like that really bothered him. He didn't seem happy about that. So that kind of makes me a little bit nervous because I don't know. But at the same time, I mean, he still was talking that talk at the press conference. I was kind of surprised because a lot of these guys kind of get up there and they kind of seem defeated a lot of the time. You know, they get up there with him and seem like it turns into, you know, Jake Paul's press conference. But, I mean, he's not even all that great on the mic. So this guy kind of took over the whole situation. He still seems pretty confident. I don't know. I don't know. I might be a little bit worried for Jake Paul this one. I think I am.
Let me jump in real quick and I'll let you go. I think one thing Rockman has to do is he has to be a boxer. Be a boxer. Don't come in thinking that you fighting a YouTube superstar or a YouTube personality. Come in thinking with the mentality that you boxing a boxer. I think a lot of these people, when they fight Jake, they think they're fighting like a social media influencer or something. No, when he put on them gloves, that guy has gotten better. I mean, I can knock his opponents, but I can't knock him getting better and better and better every time I see him. Look like he's getting better. So Rockman has to come in and be the boxer. Come in and box this guy. Make him work. Put him on the heels. Make him box off the ropes. Make him box out of the corner. Be a boxer. You go ahead, big man. You go ahead, Dom.
No, I appreciate you guys taking the call and talking so thoughtfully about it. And, you know, the second part of the question, and I'll hang up and listen after this, but, you know, I feel like it's a lot of, after all the fights that we've seen Jake Paul do, and honestly both Paul brothers, but mainly Jake Paul do, you know, there's always the caveat, which is like, you know, are you fighting an influencer or are you fighting a boxer? And he's been cutting his teeth on, you know, definitely lesser opponents. I feel like, you know, right when he first started out, you know, you had every tough guy in any sport who was like, yeah, I'll fight him. And, you know, you have somebody who's actually training to box who was actually, you know, doing really well, obviously. But now that he's fighting a boxer, like, and somebody with a good, you know, even great pedigree, obviously the conversation has changed. So what does Jake Paul need to do to be taken seriously to the point where maybe next fight or the one after that, he doesn't have to be prefaced with, you know, social media star / influencer, you know, where he can be just treated as a normal boxing opponent and be completely taken seriously from the jump and not just treated as another publicity stunt, whether from on his end or from the boxer's end. And I'll hang up and listen from here, but I appreciate you guys taking the call.
I don't think he can do anything to shake the social media influencer thing because that's what got him all this notoriety and all this fame. So he will never be able to shake that. But at the same time, what he can do to be taken more seriously is he has to fight boxers. He can't fight celebrities. After he fights Rockman this week, win or lose, he has to fight another boxer. And it can't be somebody that fought 5 years ago, somebody that fought 10 years ago. It has to be a formidable opponent. And if he keeps doing that and he can find ways to win, I think people take him more seriously. I think you'll hear people saying, hey, Jake Paul could be something in the sport. Or Jake Paul, you know, is working on his craft. He's getting better. You know, stuff like that. But the way he got here has been a social media influencer, so I don't think he'll ever shake that. But, hey, just keep getting better at his craft and people just take him more seriously. That's with anything. You know, when you first get to a new job, you know, normally you start off as a new guy. They might call you a rookie. And then, you know, as you start moving up, you know, people start coming to you asking you questions. And then somewhere down the road, you become the boss or supervisor or something. So he has to take baby steps, man. And I think he's doing it kind of the right way, although I disagree with the people he's for it. But he's kind of doing it the right way. He's baby stepping. So we got to give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah, for sure. First off, thank you, bro. Thank you. I appreciate you calling into the show. That was real. Thank you so much. And second off is that, you know, proposing interesting questions that I actually, like I said, I had in the queue, you know, for backup if we, you know, if it was, if something relevant came up and it was needed, you know, it was there. So thank you for calling and bringing up this question. Something that I was interested in myself. Like I said, I was watching the press conference last night about this fight, and I watched Jake Paul's interview. I watched Rahman's interview actually like hour and a half ago while I was cleaning my bathroom. I listened to his interview he just did with TMZ. And this is probably, this is the last bit I got on this, because then I want us to get, you know, I'd like to, we got to touch on UFC 276, because there's a lot to go on with that. I think what he has to do, I mean, first of all, I'll say this, the fact that the fact that he's treated as like he's not a boxer, but no boxers actually come out and are like, yo, I'll fight you. I think that's kind of an alarming thing to me. The fact that it had to be like UFC guys to fight him, where are the boxers coming out and saying like, and the thing is this, y'all know that if you come out like and you challenge him, this is going to be like Rahman came out, and I don't know how much he was getting paid before, but I was listening to his interview and Rahman said, this is the biggest payday of his boxing career. He's getting versus Jake Paul. So why aren't so if Jake Paul is not a boxer and, you know, these guys apparently don't take him serious, they think he's an easy fight, why wouldn't you just call him out and fight him? It's like, you're going to make a lot of money doing it. Go in there, you beat him down. You know, what's the problem? Like, why? That's kind of, it's strange to me that you don't see any of these boxers coming out. Like, Jake Paul literally, I was watching his the sit-down he had with Eddie Hearn before the Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano fight. They had the sit-down. Jake Paul literally called out every one of Eddie Hearn's fighters. He said, before this fight was announced, he said to Eddie Hearn, I'll fight any one of your fighters that is, 10-0 or under, you know, undefeated or not. He said 10 fights or less. And I promise you, I'll beat every one of them. He said that to Eddie Hearn. Where is all of Eddie Hearn's fighters coming out and saying, I accept that challenge? Like, that's the part of it that I think is kind of weird. Why is Jake Paul stepping up and these guys don't? It's like, you go get the payday. But, hey, look, Rockman's going to fight him. And I think what he has to do to be taken serious, you know, not called a YouTuber anymore, I think what he would have to do is, or at least the point where it would go from, you know, okay, YouTuber to now YouTuber turned boxer, because I think he's a boxer now. But YouTuber turned boxer, they would probably start to say, is if he goes in there, you know, he fights Rockman, whatever. I mean, ideally he beats him, but, you know, whatever happens, fights him. And because he's going to get a lot of credit either way for even having taken the fight. I would give him a lot of credit for even taking the fight. But either way, he fights him, and then win or lose, you come out and call out another boxer. Whether it's Tommy Fury, whether he comes out and says, okay, I'm going to the UK to fight Tommy Fury after this, you know, let's do it for December or whatever. Whether it's that or, you know, one of Eddie Hearn's guys that, you know, he basically called out, I think that's what he would have to do. Take this fight, and then win or lose, you immediately call out, you know, either Tommy Fury or another, like, legitimate, you know, full-time boxer. I think that's what he would have to do.
Yeah, because I'm reading this thing, what Jake Paul said, I'm quoting him. If Tommy Fury's promoters want to handle all the logistics and pay me my $15 million to go to Europe and fight, then maybe we can start a discussion. Paul then tweeted Thursday. He also tweeted and offered Fury $500,000 to fight him in the UK after the Rockman fight. So evidently, he really wants to fight Tommy Fury. I think win or lose, Fury will be his next opponent. And I think Jake is going to take the show overseas to the UK. But once again, Tommy Fury is looked at as not being a real boxer. But I don't think real boxers look at Jake as being a real boxer. So that's why you don't see a lot of boxers stepping up saying, let me go fight Jake Paul, you know. But I think all that'll change, man. I think you'll probably have some lesser-known boxers looking to get a payday that'll probably be like, hey, let me fight this guy. But one thing you got to keep in mind, Keys, is that some of these boxers are under promotional contracts, whereas they promotion companies basically set up their fights, run their fights, and all that good stuff. And maybe their promotional company doesn't want to do business with Jake Paul's. Who does he know do his fights with? I think he's doing this one. I think he's promoting this one on his own. So I think it's business to be had both ways.
Jake Paul signed to Showtime now. So he's got Showtime and his own most valuable promotions MVP. So it's, Showtime and MVP.
So I think what it is, you know, a lot of these boxers, you got Top Rank, they deal with ESPN. You got PBC, they deal with Fox. But also some of the PBC guys also fight on Showtime. So I just think most of these fighters really not, especially top-notch guys, aren't even looking at fighting him because he want to fight guys that has little to no experience. So the top-notch guys definitely ain't going to fight him. But I think some younger guys should look at it, you know, and making some money, maybe some decent money. But at the same time, is what happens when you lose to him. If you lose to him, are you to be taken seriously? So I think it's a double-edged sword. But, everything is based on this fight right here.
Yo, UFC, what about UFC 276, though? We got to get to the real fight game. Come on, man.
Let's go. Let's go.
A real fight game. A true fight.
Let's
a full fight. All right, so here we go. All right, 276, I'm going to just come out the gate, right? Because we don't got time to talk about everything that happened. But I'm going to talk about some of the things that are on my mind immediately when I think about it. So the first thing that is on my mind is Brad Riddle got finished very quick by Jalen Turner. And I think now you got to have Bobby Green come back when he's, I don't know if he's injured or what. You need to do the Brad Riddle and Bobby Green fight. Now's the time. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. The second thing, I cannot believe how bad that Max Holloway got beat down by the Volcano. Can't believe it. He got beat down so bad. Man, that was terrible. That was terrible. I mean, I was feeling stressed watching that. I was like, man, Max is getting beat so bad, man. That was really, really bad. Like, that reminded me of the first fight. Like, that's how I remember feeling during the first fight. That was probably worse. I think that was, like, actually clearly worse than the first fight. Because at least Max was, you know, he was there in some of the exchanges in the first fight. But I don't even think he was there in any of the exchanges in this third fight. He just – and I'm not even going to say he looked bad. I'm going to just say it wasn't that he looked bad. Because we're not doing that. Because they love saying that every time. The Volcano, we just got to admit, he got a lot better. And that's what happened. Max didn't have a bad night. I'm not doing that. The Volcano just got better. That's what it was. And you could see that it was like Max couldn't figure out what he was doing in there. That, like, not what he was doing, but he couldn't, like, figure out Volkanovski's rhythm. That's, like, what it looked like to me. And he was just getting touched everywhere. You know, Volkanovski had, I want to say he had the jab going, you know, a lot in that fight. And, you know, that's what it was. Volkanovski had an incredible performance. Whether you like him or not, you got to give him his props for that. He had an incredible night. And that's just what it was. No, I know Holloway's going to come back and and beat a lot of guys down at 145. But man, we got to dead that. You know, we got to dead that rivalry. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
We got
to
dead that
he
rivalry.
Has to move up.
I don't want to see those
he
two guys fight
up.
Ever again. I don't want to see them fight ever again, bro. I really don't.
I don't want
I don't
to see
care
it
if it's, even if it's at 155, like, that doesn't change it. Like, they fought three times. That's done. You know, I don't want to see it. Like, there's just I don't see intrigue of that fight, you know, at this point. And so, yeah, I mean, if he wants to move up, that's cool. But, yeah, that's that one. And then Adesanya, you know, I'm just kicking him, you know, respond to whatever you feel inclined to. But, and then Adesanya, you know, that, I mean, I wasn't really feeling good during the main card of that one. I was feeling a bit under the weather during that card, so I was kind of out of it. But, I mean, I was enjoying Adesanya. Like, I'm not saying that I was, you know, at the edge of my seat thrilled. Like, I definitely wasn't. Like, I was chilling back, and I was kind of relaxing, just kind of watching it. But, like, I wouldn't say that I was, like, mad at it, though. I think a lot of people are mad at it. I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm mad at it. But I mean, I'm not like telling you that it was an incredible thing, and I was, you know, at the edge of my seat, because it wasn't really that kind of fight. It was just, it was Adesanya just showing, you know, pretty much what we predicted. He kind of just dominated Ken. Like, that was a mismatch. Like, we pretty much said that on our show, that wasn't really an intriguing fight. I don't know why they tried to like sell it like it was this incredible fight. It really wasn't. I mean, like, the actual matchup. They sold the matchup like it was incredible. That's what I meant to say. Not the fight, but the matchup. Like, it was not, that was not, like, Cannonier is not that good, dog. Like, he has his moments, but he's really not that good overall. As far as, like, fighting, he's just one of those dudes. It's almost like, you know, kind of how Jon Jones and Cormier were at the top of, you know, light heavyweight for a couple of years, and it was like the gap between those two guys and the rest of the division was just so, like, so wide. And that's kind of the way it is with 185 right now. I mean, not really counting Chimaev, because he's not really full-time in 185, but if you look at Adesanya and Whitaker, I mean, they're just, like, leagues above all of these guys, in my opinion. So, Cannonier, you know, he was never going to look that good, and that's what you saw in there. He wasn't bringing the fight. He was standing there. You know, he was doing, like, you know, somewhere. He was like a Yoel Romero in there. You know, he was like if Yoel Romero, like, had a V8 before that fight that they had. You know, that was, like, what Cannonier looked like. And he just got outdid. He fought a guy that's much better than him, and that's what happens. You know, you're not going to see a crazy back-and-forth, you know, wow fight when the guys are miles apart. Like, you're just not going to see it. And Adesanya's a champion. You know, he fought, you know, a tactical fight. And I think he was offensive the whole time. I don't think he fought a defensive fight. I think he fought an offensive fight. But he was leagues better than Cannonier. And that's just what we saw. That's what I think.
Right. I want to say right after the Volkanovski Max fight, I tweeted out from our Lee and Keys Real Talk account. I put it just simple. Volk is better than Max. Sometimes you meet your match, and Max met Volk. It's just some guys you just not going to beat. Just like Dominique Cruz always dominated Uriah Faber. Uriah was never going to beat Dominique Cruz. Just like I always felt that DC would never beat John Jones. It's just some guys just had your number. And this is one of those matchups that Max Holloway, regardless of what he does, I don't think he will ever beat Volkanovski unless he becomes this world-class wrestler. And we all know that's not going to happen. Back to Adesanya, Cannonier to me, when you're the challenger, and Keys, I think you agree with me on this. When you're the challenger, you have nothing to lose. You should be in the octagon, balls to the wall, foot on the gas pedal, taking chances, forcing the action, not waiting back, you know, waiting back, waiting on the champ to come to you and do all this stuff. If we have learned anything from Adesanya's title defenses, he's willing to just sit back there and throw jabs and leg kick you. He's willing to do that. He's willing not to engage, you know. And out of all his title fights, his title defenses, I can't say any of them has been memorable. None of them has been memorable. And then he always comes to the press conference and says, I'm protecting my brain. You know, I don't want to be in there in exchanges and all this and all that. I understand that. Sometimes tactical fights are warranted and needed, depending on the level of your opponent. I think against Robert Whittaker, you have to be level-headed and you have to be tactical. I think against everybody else, I think you should come out there and force the action. Use your leg kicks, use your jab, come out fast. Start finishing some of these guys instead of having all your fights go to a decision, especially when my man Keys thinks you are miles ahead of everybody in division outside of Robert Whittaker and Chimaev. So, well, I tweeted that unpopular opinion. Izzy was more, this is exactly what I tweeted. I said, unpopular opinion. Izzy was more excited chasing the belt, starting to get Whitley vibes from Izzy, meaning Whitley was more excited when he was chasing, but became overly cautious while being the champ. And then he says he's protecting his brain so we can't get mad at him. So, I know as a champ, the main thing is going in there, protecting yourself and walking on as a champ. But when you are way better than guys, Keys, shouldn't you go in there and dominate and finish? I'm just saying. What did DJ do when he was at the apex of his game? His fights weren't going the distance. He was going in there and finishing guys. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Am I wrong for thinking like that?
No, you're not wrong. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, what happened? Yeah, what happened with your boy John Jones? Then his last like three fights, I didn't see him finishing none of those guys. He's supposed to be he was fighting middleweight, and he couldn't finish a single one of them.
And I also declared that
all those guys.
And I declared that I didn't like his fighting style. I said on all those shows that John is not doing what got him to be the best in the world. He's trying to beat these guys at their own game when that's not on their game and their style is so much further from what he does. I never liked the idea of him coming in there saying, I think he's cocky, John, when he says, I'm going to beat you at your own game. No, you go in there and you impose your will and you go in there and do your thing. But I never liked that, and I think I voiced that on our shows while leading up into his fights when he would say that. I just didn't like that, and I still don't like it. I think you should go in there and you should make your opponent, especially if you better, make your opponent feel you early and often. And John didn't do it. Izzy ain't doing it now. So basically, both of them got something in common.
So I'll say this. And meanwhile, during all that, I mean, John Jones got the audacity to criticize Francis Ngannou and Adesanya for actually, you know, winning world titles while he's just been sitting on the couch and doing nothing for the past 2 years, you know, committing crimes and whatever else he does in his free time. So that's kind of disgusting, but, you know, it is what it is. Where's all his world titles? It's all about, like, 15 world titles We haven't seen it. Where's the fights? I mean, how do you criticize guys that are actually doing it right now? It's the part that I don't understand. Would you rather them not win world titles? Is that what he's mad about?
I think John is like, he got the Conor McGregor thing.
That's what I was going to say to you. I feel like he's, these days, he's reminding me just of him. And it's funny that, I mean, but you can see that, so I don't need to point it out to you. But it's, if you didn't say it, I'd say it, you can't really praise him, at least right now, but then not like,
yeah,
you know, the way McGregor is, because he's acting like he's been hanging out with him.
Yeah, because I think John, what his thing is, I don't even understand. I know him and Izzy got a little beef, but the thing is, John, is you're never going to fight Izzy. Never. You're never going to go back down to 205. Izzy will probably never go up to 205 because after he felt what Jan Blachowicz felt like, what he felt, what he could do in the octagon against Jan, I don't think he will ever go up to 205 unless his body takes him up to 205. But if we look at the way he's built perfectly for his weight class. John, let it go, man. Let it go. You and Izzy will never fight. And stop trying to hijack fight weekends when somebody's fighting that you don't like. You did it with Francis. You did it with Izzy. Cut it out, bro. Sign the contract. Fight Stipe, and let's get it on. The greatest light heavyweight champion going against the greatest heavyweight champion in a class. Stop talking, man. Get in the octagon. I know you on the UFC are at odds over money, but right now the UFC has all the leverage because you haven't fought in 2 years. So you have no leverage. You have no title. You vacated your title. If you wanted to keep the leverage, you should have never vacated your title. So I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of him and Conor hijacking fight weekends. Let these people that's actually in the octagon fighting, putting on performances, let them shine. We can hear from y'all Tuesday, the Tuesday after the card. Save all y'all shit for Tuesday after the card. So that's where I'm at with it, man. I'm just tired of it.
That ain't that the truth? That's facts right there. I appreciate you keeping it real because there's a lot of times where you might think that of me, like, man, why is he going in on the fandom and he won't just admit it? It probably sounds good to me too, but yeah, there's definitely times you probably think that of me. But I mean, I think I've been more into that that way, a little while ago. I don't think I've done too much. I've had too many takes like that in a little bit. But you've definitely thought about that with me in the past. But I appreciate you keeping it real about John because that's your right hand man right there, and he wilding out sometimes. So you need to just, it's good that you keep it real about that. Keep it 1,000. But
objective, Keys. I'm always objective.
I know, but there's been times in the past you've defended things about him that there really wasn't much there to defend. Like, it wasn't really worth defending. Like, it was times where it was just like he was wrong and that was it, But we both had our times like that.
I agree. I think my whole thing with John is this. I like the fighter, but I don't like the man. Sometimes your character has to equal your talent. And I even wrote about that. I remember I wrote a piece on him saying that his talent, his character should be equal to his talent, but it isn't. And that's why UFC fans don't like him, because he is so great in the octagon, but he's looked at as such a bad person. And that's why I don't like Floyd Mayweather, man. Because I always tell you, Floyd is a hell of a boxer. But why you out here boxing women? And that's my turnoff. So I'm always objective. I'm always objective. That's one thing I am. Although I do have, I am a fan. I am objective though.
No, 100%. By the way, people as well. I just took a look back at the card, and I know like there's certain, topics related to UFC 276. I probably got like one, maybe two more myself that we'll be able to get to, and then there's other ones we'll probably have to, run back the next time. But unless you were gonna bring one up, we'll probably get to like the Sean O'Malley and Pedro Munhoz, crybaby situation. We'll probably get to that next week. Pedro Munhoz is crying bad. So yeah, we'll get him. We'll get him next week.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I'm not even really trying to talk about that, but we'll get that next week. We'll talk about
Cowboys. Ain't even worth talking about.
Yeah, so we ain't even talking about it, so scratch that.
Yeah.
What we might actually talk about is who should Sean O'Malley fight next. That might be something I might want to talk about. We'll see if he's down for it. Sean O'Malley might talk about his next fight. Maybe he could finally rematch with Marlon Vera. That would be something that I would still want to see.
That's the fight I want.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Vera. But the thing is, I heard Marlon Vera is fighting Dominic, so I don't know. Like, maybe he has to fight the winner. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But either way, we'll talk about that next week. We got, what was the other thing? Cowboy Cerrone. Jim Miller submitted him, I think, for the second round. Cowboy Cerrone. I was close on my Cowboy by sub prediction, man. Look at Cowboy. He had a couple submission attempts. I almost had it, bro. He was at least going for it. I was half right. He didn't get it, but he tried. And that, you could see that was his game plan. He wanted to submit Jim Miller. So I was right in the ideology of it, but I was wrong in the outcome. So I was half right. So Cowboy retiring. We'll talk about that next week. There was some other stuff on the prelims, like Ian Garry. I thought Ian Garry looked incredible. I'll ask you what your take on that. If you saw that fight, I'll ask you about that fight. We'll talk about that next week and maybe who he might want to fight next. I think he's at welterweight, so that's pretty interesting. Talk about that next week. And what else do they have? Oh, yeah, Sean Strickland got knocked out in the first round. We'll probably talk about that next week unless you bring it up, in the next few minutes. Probably talk about that. Sean Strickland, talked a lot at the press conference, which I was entertained by. I was laughing. He made me enjoy that press conference.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Did you feel like that? Did you feel like that?
Hey,
getting knocked out?
Hey, Strickland was talking his ish at the press conference, though.
Right?
I liked
you that?
It.
Yeah,
I liked
me
it.
Too, man.
But too bad it didn't end in his favor. Because he highlighted the press conference, man, and I loved every second of it. I loved every second of it.
I want to see him at another press conference soon. Like, even though he's coming off a loss, like, I still want to see him at another press conference because that was good, man. He's a funny dude. I never really heard him, like, I've seen, like, quotes from him and stuff, like, from Vokimoto and stuff, and, like, he says a lot of things that I don't really care for, but... So I never really was a fan, and I want to say I don't think I maybe watched him fight like a while ago, but I don't remember watching like a recent fight. I can't say that I've definitely watched a fight from him before because he's just not a guy that's on my radar. But now I watched this one. I thought he was great, the press conference, and but unfortunately, his trash talking, kind of backfired on him a little bit, and he got knocked out. I don't know why he went in with his hands down like that. Maybe I can ask you. What kind of boxing technique that was to just stand in front of a guy with his hands down. I don't know what
not
the hell that
real.
Was. When you look at that,
not
like,
against
but
for real.
Really, like, yeah, I mean, not him, but how many guys, like, you really shouldn't stand in front of, I mean, there's a lot of guys that you shouldn't stand in front of with your hands, at your chest like that. That's just, I don't know why. I mean, definitely not against that dude, but, like, you're gonna get knocked out by a lot of guys standing there like that. So I don't know. We'll get to that next week. The question that I have that I'm pretty much I'll finish off with, and then you, whatever you want to finish off with after that, is so I was in a kind of back and forth with this guy on, I think it was Monstro, actually. Monstro, that's been on our show before. He was on our show like probably a couple months ago. Shout out to Monstro on Twitter. I don't know his full name. I forget. He got like maybe some numbers out there or something. But yeah, shout out to Monstro. He's out there. He was on our show a while back. But me and him, I think we're going back and forth. I think it was him. Shout out to NJ Insight too, by the way. Watch his show on YouTube. He's got some good content there. Trying to get him on too, but it's kind of hard with the scheduling. We kind of got different schedules. But yeah. So I was getting into back and forth with Monstro, and he was saying that he listed like four or five guys on his Twitter, like pictures of each guy, and it was like, these are like the only entertaining guys, or like the only people worth watching in the UFC right now, or something like that. And he didn't have a picture of Volkanovski. Now, to me, I think he's, to me, okay, so my favorite three fighters right now, and I also, I mean, it's, these are all guys that I, there's a reason why. I mean, these are guys that all, I really enjoy watching as well, is Charles Oliveira, the undisputed lightweight world champion, Charles Oliveira.
Yep, Charles Oliveira, I agree.
Yeah. He's the lightweight champion. They like to say that he's not, and that the title is vacant, but I don't believe in that. I think he's the lightweight champion, so I'm just gonna call him the undisputed lightweight world champion if you don't mind. So yeah, Charles Oliveira is there. Mike Chandler, definitely. I think he cuts the best promos.
Always in good fights.
Yeah, nah. Win or lose, like, you know, and people say it's like, people say, like, I saw Poirier say, and I thought this was kind of ridiculous. Poirier said, you know, he's only beating guys that are on, like, losing streaks. And I'm like, man, he just knocked out Tony Ferguson, a guy that you wouldn't even fight. Like, wasn't Poirier supposed to fight Ferguson, and he ducked it?
Yep.
Like, come on, man. Chill out.
Yep.
Chill out with that, bro. Chill out with that. We know what happened. Like, he was supposed to fight Ferguson, and we didn't end up getting that fight. So I'd like, you know, somebody to ask Poirier why we didn't get it, you know, before you tell Chandler that, you know, he just knocked up. And plus, it's like, bro, he's fighting guys that, you know, are fighting all the best guys. Like, Ferguson, you look at the guys Ferguson's lost to, it's all top five guys. Like, I don't know what y'all want from Ferguson. Like, he only fights the best guys every time. Look at the guys he fought. I mean, he lost to the undisputed lightweight world champion. He lost to Benil Dariush, who I'm pretty sure is number, like, two in the world. He just lost to Michael Chandler, who I'm pretty sure is number five in the world. And he lost to Justin Gaethje, who I'm pretty sure is, I think,
number
one or number three. Who just
he's like number two.
All right, so I think he lost to number two. I think Dariush is number three or number four, and he lost to Chandler, who's number five, and then he lost to Oliveira, who's the champion. So, then people are like, he's washed. It's like, bro, everyone he lost to is a top five or the champion. I don't know what brings you to that.
What else
conclusion.
You want him to do? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So I don't know where people come out with that, saying that he's washed. No, I don't think he's washed at all. He just loses to the best guys in the world. And look at this.
Can I say something real quick?
And this is my last thing. Get that. And look at this. I thought he was winning that fight. I know it kind of sounds, you know, maybe it sounds some type of way when we say this, like, oh, they were winning the fight until they got knocked out, but I thought Ferguson looked really good in that fight versus Chandler up until that moment. Like, I thought he looked great. Like, I thought his striking looked so good. I think he was about to prove what we said to be right, was that when, you know, he had more time with Freddie Roach and it was going to show in that fight, and it was. I think he looked great. I thought he looked so good, his stand-up. I was damn proud, bro. I was getting choked up watching Ferguson in that fight. I was like, damn, bro. Look at him making us proud. Like, I was so happy in that first round. I was like, Ferguson looks great right now, you know, up until he got caught. And it is – so go ahead.
I got to say this. Now, everybody, the Khabib stands, they always out there. Look at who Chandler has fought since he come into the UFC in the same division. He fought Ferguson. He fought Gaethje. He fought Charles Oliveira. He beat Dan Hooker, right? Yeah, beat Dan Hooker. Tito fought basically better guys in a short amount of time than Khabib did during his whole time in the UFC. That's all I got.
Chandler is either 2-2 in the UFC or 2-3. He lost to Oliveira and he lost to Gaethje. Okay, so he's 2-2. But really, Chandler has debatably fought more like top lightweights than Khabib did. If you really look at it, that's the part that kind of gets me when people say things like this. It's like, where was Khabib fighting all the guys that Chandler's fighting? Like, he fought Gaethje. He never fought Ferguson. Like, Chandler has already fought Ferguson, and he's only been here for 2 years. Khabib did, like, 13 fights or whatever, never fought Ferguson. You know, there's always an excuse. And what was the other one? Obviously, he didn't fight Dan Hooker. And who was the other guy? Oh, yeah, he didn't fight Oliveira. So, really, Chandler has fought more lightweight competition, more of the real, you know, top lightweights than Khabib did. So, that's what I have to say for the Khabib fans. They got to sit down, bro. I'm sick and tired of it. So my point is that my favorite guys is Charles Oliveira, lightweight world champion, Mike Chandler, and the Volcano. Those are my top three guys. I'm not saying they're top three pound for pound. They're probably all pound for pound, I would say. Mike Chandler maybe, you know, is not in the pound for pound. He hasn't gotten probably enough wins yet. But, you know, I think at least, you know, the other two are definitely, you know, pound for pound. And we were talking about it. Monstro said that Volkanovski is not entertaining. And I'm like, I was like, bro, because he has Sean O'Malley on the list saying that he was more entertaining. And I'm like, bro, Sean O'Malley just got, like, TKO'd in the first round and, like, broke his leg versus Chito Vera and then just had like an eye poke fluke versus Pedro Munhoz, and you're telling me that Volkanovski, who just fought, you know, five very entertaining rounds in the rematch versus Holloway, then went and fought, who did he fight after that? Ortega?
Yeah,
then he fought a very crazy fight versus Ortega. I think that was five rounds too. That was another crazy five rounds. That was probably my favorite fight that year, if not one of them. Then he fought, I think the Korean Zombie was after that. He kind of beat him down, but I still thought that was entertaining. I was like, damn, he's just washing the Zombie. And then he just fought Max again. I mean, that was kind of a lopsided fight too, but can you say, like, it wasn't entertaining? Like, is he not, would you say he is not an entertaining fighter? Like, is that I think what he does is different than what Adesanya does. Like, Adesanya is fighting in a way that is – Adesanya is fighting in a way that's more similar to Floyd Mayweather. That's what I would say. Yep. Like, in the later part of his career. Like, one of my friends the other day, we talk about a lot of fights. He said, you know, Adesanya pretty much just put on, you know, a bad Mayweather performance. That's what that was. And I agree with that. I think, you know, people were making those clear, the Mayweather of the UFC at this point. And, yeah, so I think what Adesanya does is more similar to what Mayweather did, where it was like he was always just, you know, a little bit better than his opponent. You know, he was always just a notch or two better. He never had to do too much to, like, assert himself, like you were saying earlier, like, oh, he never had to, you know, he never had to, like, assert dominance or remind anybody of anything. He just would always be a little bit better, if not like a notch or two better. And that was how he kind of sat on that. That's what Adesanya kind of, you know, fights like most of these fights now. But I don't think Volkanovski, I can't really say he fights like that. I think his style is, I think he's beating guys, and I think he's doing a lot more in his fights. You know, if you want to say, you know, he's having close fights here and there, but I mean, I think Ortega, I feel like he put it on the line in that fight. I mean, he was in, like, 2-3 submission attempts? Like, he was in Ortega's, you know, you know, comfort zone.
Right.
He entered, and even if he didn't mean to, I mean, he still welcomed it. He still went in there like a true champion and a warrior, and he was, you know, he was in Ortega. You've seen him. He didn't tap. You know, a lot of guys would have tapped. You know, McGregor would have tapped, you know, the first submission he was in. And a lot of guys would have tapped. You know, McGregor taps all the time, but a lot of guys would have tapped in any of those submissions Ortega had him in that fight. And Volkanovski didn't tap, bro. He looked beat red. He looked like a tomato, and he didn't tap. So, I don't know. Do you think, like, he's not – would you say he's not an entertaining fighter? I'm not trying to tell you what to think, but I was just pointing out the details. But do you find him entertaining?
I would say the four guys I like to see fight are Charles Oliveira. I like Michael Chandler, but I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje. I like it. I like watching his fights. I like watching Bobby Green. And I like watching who was the fourth person? I can't think of the fourth person. Well, those are three guys I really like fighting. But I can't disagree with Volkanovski. It's, when you look at Volkanovski compared to Adesanya, Volkanovski goes for broke in his fights. He goes out there to win, not to just survive. He goes into every fight to win. I think his style can be maybe a little detrimental if he moves up to 155 when he fights bigger guys. But right now, man, he's an exciting guy, man. And if I line up to watch him fight, his fights are good. He doesn't wait. He makes adjustments. His corner is always engaged with their fighter, and he's always engaged with his corner. Something that me and you talked about in the past, that your corner, you know, should be a support system for a fighter. They could win a fight and they could lose a fight for you. But anybody that thinks he's boring, nah, man, I don't know what y'all are watching. If anybody that would pick an Adesanya fight over a Volkanovski fight, tell me which title defense fight you will pick that Adesanya had over Volkanovski's. Probably Zombie. He dominated Zombie. But Ortega fight was a war. The first Max fight was, he dominated Max. The second Max fight was a good damn fight. So you can't say that the man is boring. So, and yeah, he's in my top four guys I would turn my TV on to watch. And I'm kind of hard to impress sometimes. So, hey, Volkanovski, I think you need to stay down at 145. I think moving up to 155 would be a bad move. I understand if you want to test yourself, but I just think it would be a bad move because there are so many killers at 155. And they're talking about letting him go up and fight the winner of the the title belt winner. If that's Oliveira, man, Keys, can you imagine the fireworks that could be in that fight?
Yeah, but, I mean, that's like, that's one of those ones that, that would be, you know, I don't need to see it, like, if he doesn't go up to 155, and because I saw someone the other day saying, like, yeah, like, I want to see him fight, like, Calvin Kattar and Yair Rodriguez and, like, a couple of these other guys. And I was like, yeah, I mean, if that's fine. Like, if he wants to, like, I'm cool with that, too. But if he does go up to 155 and that's the way it goes, and then Oliveira beats, you know, Islam down, and then that's that fight, I mean, that's pretty much, that's like, you know, my two favorite guys, like, fighting, I don't even know, man. Like, basically, champion versus champion fight, like, my two favorite guys. Like, I would just have to watch it. I don't even know if I would, like, yeah, that would be one of those ones. I would just have to watch it, bro. I wouldn't be able to really tell you much about it. Like, I don't know if how you like that'd be one of those ones. I don't know. Maybe I'll vote for a double knockout or something, because, or a double submission, because that right there, that'd be a crazy one. I don't know. That'd be like, you would have to admit that would be. I think that would be a massive fight, man. I think that would be a massive fight. Like,
I'm going
really,
with Oliveira, man. I'm going with Oliveira.
Yeah.
I think his ground game is so far superior to some of these guys that's in the game today. His ground game is so good that when guys knock him down, they don't even pounce on him because they know he'll jump in the guard and could possibly submit him. So I would go right now. You made me pick right now. I would say Oliveira would submit Volkanovski in the third round. I would go with the key special, Oliveira by submission in the third round. No, you go with KO in the third round. My bad.
Yeah, mine's it's a TKO in round three. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
KO
I'm going with submission. I'm going with submission.
Submission in round three, that works too. You know, that's the cousin of the key special, you know? That's the
we'll
key discount
the
right there. Yeah, the lead special is the third round submission. You don't get a lot of third round submissions, man. I don't remember what round it was. Did Oliveira submit Poirier in the third round? He submitted somebody in the third round. Was it Chandler?
He got Chandler in the second round, I think.
Yeah, Poirier was either in the second round or the third round.
Yeah, I think he got Poirier in the third round.
Yeah, man. Damn, yeah. And I remember that one. Poirier tapped quick, bro. He was gone. Poirier tapped.
But when me and you predicted that fight, we both picked Oliveira to win because we both knew that Poirier had just tapped out to Khabib, and I feel Oliveira's ground game is way better than Khabib's ground game. So, but yeah, man, those are three guys I like to see fight. Bobby Green, because he's going to be in there talking shit to his opponent, and he fight with his hands down, but he's very entertaining. I like Justin Gaethje, because he has a chin, and he's going to be balls to the wall. I like watching him fight. And I like watching Charles Oliveira, man. Charles Oliveira, for some strange reason, people, if you are not on the Charles Oliveira bandwagon, me and Keys are opening up the door to the bandwagon tonight. After tonight, we closing it. If you don't jump on it tonight, it's forever closed to you. Charles Oliveira is a beast in this game right now.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that's crazy, too, bro, is that I remember how many people talk so much shit about him leading up to the Poirier fight. Like, I didn't really see as much leading up to the Gaethje fight because I think a lot of people just knew that he was about to put him down. Like, I think they just understood that. I think even the Gaethje fans knew he was going down. They just didn't want to say it. But they weren't hating on Oliveira either, because I think they just, like I said, I think they just respected it, but they didn't want to talk crazy because they just kind of knew. So they were like, all right, like, you know, we're just going to watch it. That was what it was. But I think the Poirier fans, they were going crazy. I remember how much shit people were talking online saying Poirier, you know, pictures of Poirier with the belt and all this stuff, and he's the uncrowned champ and all this, and, like, just discounting Oliveira so bad. You remember it? It was bad.
I think they even had
Oliveira as the underdog in that fight. I think he was underdog.
Yep. He was underdog.
Even the odds makers had him as the underdog. Can you imagine? The champion of the world is the underdog.
Even Khabib was like, Justin Poirier should be the champ. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he was crying after. You seen Khabib come out like, you know, a month or so ago, and he was talking like all that wreck about Oliveira, saying like You know, he said he won't be, Oliveira won't become undisputed. And it's like, man, what do you mean by that? He's already beaten more guys than you have. What do you mean undisputed? When did you become undisputed? Who did you beat? Habib beat Ally Kinta to win the belt. What are you talking about?
Number 12 ranked.
Number 12 ranked. He's like a part-time fighter. And then he fought three guys and bowed out. It's like, bro, Oliveira has already beaten all the guys that you never fought. What do you mean? Well, he beat both the guys that he fought. I mean, he'll beat Conor McGregor in a minute if they want to do that fight. And then he fought and beat Michael Chandler and Tony Ferguson, two guys Habib did not fight. So I don't know. And he fought Kevin Lee, another lightweight that was around when Habib was out that always was calling him out, and Habib also didn't fight. So to take it, you know, even a step further. So it's – I don't know what you're talking about undisputed thing, because – that was ridiculous. Oliveira's already done more as the lightweight champ than Habib did, if you ask me.
Man, once again, Keys, these Khabib stands got to stop, man. Y'all, I know y'all love the man, but y'all got to stop. Dig deeper into his record and the guys he fought. Compared to the guys that are fighting today and who they are fighting. When you look and dig, do a deeper dive, I think some of you will even come to the conclusion that Khabib is not even a UFC Hall of Famer. And Lee said it.
Yeah, that's actually funny you say that. You should pull up Nate Diaz's interview with Ariel Helwani. It just came out, I think, today. You should watch that, you know, after we get off, or, you know, tomorrow or something when you have time, because it's actually funny. Nate Diaz actually said that himself, too. he was like, that guy ran from everybody. He never wanted to fight his whole career, and then now he's a Hall of Famer.
He didn't even want to fight Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz
was talking that talk in that interview, man. I was hearing him. He was telling a lot of things about the UFC. Yeah, you got to watch that. I'm not going to go into it right now, but you got to watch that Nate Diaz interview, because he made that point too about the Hall of Fame thing.
Yeah, man. But you know, man, Hall of Fames are subjective. You know, it all depends on how the organization feels towards somebody, you know, and that's how they feel. It ain't like I would look at Khabib, me personally. I just don't think he did enough to be a Hall of Famer. But on the other hand, I would say Donald Cerrone is a Hall of Famer, even though his win-loss record is kind of mediocre. If you look at Donald Cerrone, who he fought, who he got wins over, how long he's been in the game, although he never won a championship, I think he's fought for a championship like four or five times in his career. So I would take Donald Cerrone's career over Khabib's career any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, Yo, we can talk about that one all day. You know how we get.
You know how we do.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, but it's, yo, we can't even touch on that more next week, because we might want to get, you know, to, you know, the fluke eye poke and the Sean O'Malley type. Like Lee said, we might not actually even talk about that, but I might just tell you what we are
talking about.
Yeah, we ain't even going to give that any spotlight, because it doesn't deserve any. So we just kind of let that rock and, you know, probably touch on, you know, this current topic here that we'll get through next week. But, this is a good one. This is a good one. I like that we went a little bit extra. We had to give it some more time. Like I said, this was a double episode. We had stuff to talk about here. You know, we had to do some catching up.
Yeah, we had to catch up.
Yeah, we missed last week, so, you know, we gave it an extra 10 minutes or so to to let us get out, you know, get our stuff off. So it is what it is. I'm glad, you know, I hope, you know, y'all enjoyed the show. And I know I had a, I know I enjoyed, you know, having the show and us, you know, running the show and chopping it up. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Not really anything that I would want to say for this week, but just everybody.
I got to ask you a question, though, bro.
Yeah, you know, I was about to pass it to you.
Who you got started, Brown Ortega or Yair Rodriguez?
Oh, man, yeah, that's – yeah, yeah, I'll hold off on the closing remarks. Yeah, that one – Brian, I think I'm going with Ortega. I think when you have a match like that, I think, you know, unless a guy has really, really good, you know, submission defense. I mean, I've never seen Yair get committed. I don't know if he has or not, but it's like I just have a feeling Ortega's going to do it. And, I mean, he's also undefeated in non-title fights. He's kind of like I forget who's
Cerrone.
The other guy that hasn't. Is that what it is?
You know, Cerrone always looks good in non-title fights.
No, I'm saying, but Ortega's
15-0. Ian McCall.
Yeah, him, but who's the other guy that is still, who is it? Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is undefeated in non-title fights. He's only ever lost fighting for the belt. And so we'll see, you know, if that continues versus Chito Vera. I personally think it will. I mean, I think Ortega will keep it going, too. I just think Ortega is probably better overall than Yair. Yair might be a better striker than Ortega, but I think Ortega has enough in his striking to keep up with him. And the thing I noticed with Yair is, I mean, this is a five-round fight. I just feel like Ortega has a lot more five-round experience. I mean, Yair has done, you know, he did fight Holloway. Is that three rounds? I don't know. Is that three or five? I'm not sure how many rounds it was. But Ortega's been in, what has he been in? Two title fights. So he fought five rounds against Volkanovski. He fought five rounds against Max. So I think Ortega will do it. I just think Ortega's got, he's a little bit more well-rounded. I just have faith. The only thing I don't like is Ortega, like, calling for a title fight if he wins. It's like, bro, you remember we saw you lose twice for the belt, right? Like, can you... You feel me? Like man. Like, why?
You know what, Keys? We're going to add a segment to the show where Keys keeps it real. Keys just kept it real about Ortega right there.
Yeah, man. I can't do it, man. We saw him get beat down twice. Come on, man. Like, we saw Max Holloway beat you down so bad. I thought Volkanovski beat up Holloway pretty bad, like, the other weekend. But I think Holloway beat up Ortega a lot worse than
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
Like, he
oh
beat up
God.
Ortega so bad, man. Ooh. Like, I kind of get... Like, when I think about, like, images of that fight, like, I kind of feel bad. Like, it's terrible. Like, he was – Ortega couldn't even keep his hands up. He was getting hit so much that Max was, like, holding his hands up. He was trying to help him to defend himself from himself. Like, Max was trying to help a guy defend himself from him mid-title fight. He like picked Ortega's hands up and was trying to position his hands while he was fighting him. Like, when have you seen something like that? Man, he beat him down so bad, man. I just felt like Volkanovski beat him down pretty good too. They had the close moments, but he's selling it like they had this. He's like, I made him, you know, I had him the closest. It's like, you did, but I don't know. We saw you lost twice, dog. Can you put some work in? Like, can you fight a couple of times before you call for a
yeah.
title fight? Like, do we
I'm
really
a,
need
I'm
to see
go.
You fight him again?
Nah, I really don't want to see it. I'm going to go this way, though, Keys. Because I'm all about fresh matchups. I want to see Yair win, man. I want to see Yair win. I know he got pieced up by Max Holloway, but everybody gets pieced up by Max Holloway and Steph Volkanovski. Ortega put on a good fight against Volkanovski, but do I see him putting on a even better fight in the rematch? No, because he has no defense. If you look at all the fights where he done got dominated, it's been against strikers that can place punches and do damage, and he can't defend against that. Give me Yair Rodriguez will win this fight. I don't know how he wins this fight. I guess it was wishful thinking on my part because I want to see fresh matchups now. I'm tired of all these trilogies and quadruple matches and all that. Let's move on. Let's get some other guys a chance. So I'm going to take Yair winning this fight. I'm going to say it's going to be a controversial decision. And that's what I'm going with. Hey, people, thanks for listening to the show tonight. Me and my man Keys, we definitely went over, but it's always fun chopping it up with them. We're going to try to get on more regularly. I know summertime is kind of hard. I mean, you know, most TV shows are all for the summertime. But we're going to try to jump up here again next Wednesday and keep it pushing. But to my man Keys, man, it's always good talking to you. Wish you all, wish always keeping you in my prayers, my thoughts. Wishing you the best. And you had the tweet of the week a couple of days ago when you was talking about people and believing in themselves. And I love that tweet to death. So you have a great week. Everybody out there, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Lee and Keys signing out, as always, and then a peace.